We are grateful for your presence among us today. We are fewer in number today than usual, as many folks are traveling, opening up some lake and beach houses. I know there are a few folks who are off fishing, but I'm grateful that you are here today. We've got a few announcements that are all in your bulletin. One is the gift cards. The raffle has begun. I know some of you already been with Joe and have got some of those tickets, but the scholarship committee is now accepting gift card donations for that raffle. A reminder that every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock is a Bible study that we are offering in the fellowship hall. We would love it if you could join us. The basket offering for today is for crisis control, and as I read this, I'm not sure there are baskets out there, so we'll need to get a couple of baskets out by the door. But the basket offering today is for crisis ministry. Next Sunday is a very big and exciting Sunday for me and for us. I will officially be installed as your pastor here at Holly Grove. We have been planning this service for many weeks with lots of details and plans and preparation. I think it's going to be a very meaningful afternoon. Latifa sent an email out this week asking if anyone who has a canopy could bring that so that you can sit under the shade, and if you have any extra canopies, would you be willing to bring those to share with others who don't have one? We are just very excited. So it will start at 3. We are expecting a lot of folks from out of town, from both Winston-Salem and Durham. And so if you want to come a little bit early, just to make sure that you are settled by 3 o'clock. We have several birthdays this week. Lisa McLean Smith, Nathan Baker, Carrie Fritz, Angie Varner, Cliff Hill, Tracy Everhart, and McKenna Hedrick. And also this week, Bobby and Jana Waitman have an anniversary. Happy anniversary. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Are there any other announcements that you would like to lift up for the life of the church? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
With the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 29 and will be read responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as God forevermore. O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. A reading from Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And let us say together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God's glory fills the whole earth. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses was lifted up, the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Calvin. I love it. Thank you very much. Calvin has drawn the art for the bulletin at the installation service next Sunday. It's beautiful. I can't wait for you all to see it. I love it. Would y'all like to sit down? We have somebody that I haven't gotten to meet yet up here today. Hi, Cameron. I'm Pastor Anna. It's nice to meet you. And I see your sister is here too. Well, I thought today that we could talk about family. How many families do each of you have? This is kind of a trick question, actually. So there are different sides of your families. Yes, that's true. So we might say we all have one family, right? We've got our parents, we've got siblings, or we've got pet siblings. Well, in the church, we are blessed to have another family, the family of God. How do you think we become a part of this family? By trusting God. By trusting God. Calvin?
Baptism.
Yes. In baptism, God gives us so many gifts. Some we talked about last Sunday, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. But in the waters of baptism, we become God's children. And when we become God's children, that means we also become brother or sister to all of our friends and family here at the church. What kind of things do brothers and sisters do for each other? They help each other. Calvin? They care for each other. They love each other. These are all really good answers. Do brothers and sisters also kind of pester each other and drive each other crazy and annoy each other? Yes. But that also means that brothers and sisters forgive each other too, right? You say, I'm sorry for driving you crazy. Please forgive me. Yes. There are so many gifts that God gives us in the church, and one of those gifts is baptism. And for me, one of my favorite things about baptism is that we get to become part of God's family. And we are brothers and sisters to all of our brothers and sisters in the church. Is that your mom? Is she taking Kate over there? Yeah? Oh, because Nana has the pacifier. Well, then let's quickly pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for baptism. Thank you that in the waters of baptism, we become your children and siblings to all of our brothers and sisters in the church. Help us to love them as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. It's nice to meet you, Cameron. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Each week when Friday rolls around, I always feel like it's a little bit of a victory to have made it to Friday. We've made it through the end of the week and whatever circumstances have appeared that week. But there's something about the Friday before a long weekend that just gets me so very excited. There's a little bit of extra lightness in my step, and I think I have an extra day to catch up on things at home or to read a little bit for fun or to do whatever it might be that I need or want to do. But Fridays always feel like the whole world is before me. Well, today is the, this weekend is Memorial Weekend, where we have a three-day weekend, and although we are fewer in number because many are traveling, Jesus is here among us. Today and tomorrow, we remember those who have died in service to our country. And today in the church is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's no coincidence that Holy Trinity Sunday is the first Sunday after Pentecost and leads us into the long season of ordinary time. Because it isn't just one person of the Trinity who goes with us into ordinary time and transforms us, but the entire Trinity is at work around us and within us. On this Sunday, we acknowledge and affirm that the Trinity is a mystery, that the Trinity has existed throughout all of time, from eternity to eternity. On this day, we celebrate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their oneness. Now, the Trinity isn't just some out there abstract concept made up by theologians to confuse people, although this does sometimes happen. The idea of God as three yet one is really about how we experience God in our lives and in the church. We experience God as creator and parent, protector and provider. We experience God as forgiveness and reconciler, co-sufferer in the human condition, one of us. And we experience God as indweller, the one who dwells within us, our companion on our journeys, and the one that enables us to live in ways that honor God. Since the very beginning of Christianity, Christians have been talking about the Trinity, God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Christians were using this language long before we understood what the Trinity is. Christians were baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for a couple of centuries before someone said, Hey, what's the deal with this Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing? Do we worship one God or do we worship three? And although that's a gross oversimplification, I think you get what I mean. So bishops and theologians and leaders of the church set to work to figure out the doctrine of the Trinity, to put into words what we believe about the Trinity. They held councils to decide what the official teaching of the church was, and they rejected all of the other ideas as heresies. Now, I could explain for you that God is one being in three persons. I could tell you the Greek terms that the church agreed upon. I could draw you some diagrams and definitions. And although that might be fun for me, I have an idea it might be pretty boring for you. Because the fact of the matter is that precise Greek terminology and complex principles, they're just not that important to most of us as we live out our faith day by day. I know that, and you know that. So then, what do we do with Holy Trinity Sunday? How do we take seriously this Trinitarian faith that we confess without just getting bogged down by the doctrine and the terminology and the concepts? The truth is, no one image can capture what is at heart a mystery. The Trinity is a mystery, and not a mystery like a novel where we're given clues and ultimately we figure out what the mystery is. The Trinity is a mystery in the sense that we could spend our whole lives learning about what the Trinity means and never fully comprehend it or never fully grasp it. And I think that's the truth about God. We so often want to put God in a box and to have the things that we know about God be very black and white. But God is a mystery. God is a mystery. The early church fathers knew the challenges and pitfalls of the mystery of the Trinity, but they were more concerned with who the Trinity is and less what the Trinity looked like. So we have a lot of paintings in church history of what the Trinity is, and none of them fully depict for us what the Trinity is. But these church fathers were more interested in who the Trinity is and not what the Trinity looked like. As I mentioned before, the precise language agreed upon by the early church was that God is one being and one essence with three persons. What I would like to offer you today is one of my favorite ways of thinking about the Trinity, and that is through relationship. Relationship is at the core of who we are as human beings. We are who we are in the context of those relationships. And God, at the heart of who God is a relationship. God isn't some static person sitting up in heaven. God in the Trinity is a relationship that is very dynamic and ever, ever flowing with love. One of the most beautiful explanations I've heard for the Trinity about love is that this eternal relationship that has always existed, we can think about it as God as the one who loves, Christ as the one who's the beloved, and the Holy Spirit is the love that goes between all of them. None of it can exist without the other. God who loves, Christ who is loved, and the Holy Spirit who is the love. And it's always ever moving because none of the persons of the Trinity hoard the love that is given by the other two. But as soon as that love is poured into them, they constantly pour it back out into the other two persons. So it's a relationship that is always experiencing the movement of love. Love is ever flowing between all three persons of the Trinity. No part of this can exist without the other. The Father loves, the Son is the beloved, and the Spirit is the love that links them. Before there was anything else in all of creation, there was God, and we know that God is love, and God was and is and always will be in this relationship of love with God's self. Lover, beloved, and love. Creator, redeemer, and sanctifier. And in God's great love, we are invited into the relationship that is love. In love, God created the whole world that God so loves, and we are created in God's image. What this means is that we aren't just created in the image of the Father, and we aren't just created in the image of the Son, and we aren't just created in the image of the Holy Spirit. But we're also created in the image of the Trinity and how the Trinity is always loving itself. And so that image that's imprinted upon us, the image that we bear of God's love ever being flowing through the Trinity, is what we are called to live so that in our relationships, we are always loving others and loving God as God loves God's self in the Trinity. This all means that the relationship of love that the persons of the Trinity In the image that we bear, we are called to be in relationship with God and others and creation in ways that look just like how the Trinity loves itself. We are called to love and to be loved. We are called to live love and to give love, and to be God's love in all of our relationships. I know this is all very heady and hard stuff, but at the heart of it is God's love. God's love is given to us by the Father. God's love is given to us by the Son. God's love is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And God's love is given to us by the Trinity, whose love is ever flowing between all three persons and flows to us. That's what we remember and celebrate today. And that's why the Trinity matters to us in our everyday lives. It's because of who God is and what God does that we are who we are, and that we're called to be people of love. We are children of God, and we are children of love. And our faith is about being called into relationship with others, with God and with creation, in ways that mirror and reflect the love that is ever flowing and never ending between all three persons of the Trinity. This is who God is: lover, beloved, and love. And that is the image that we are made in, and that is the name that we are baptized in. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, Let us confess our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Triune God in prayer. We pray, O God, for your holy church around the world. Revitalize and renew us, that we may be reborn once again through the waters of baptism and the blowing wind of your Spirit. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give you thanks for your power revealed to us. Cedar and oak trees, for rushing waters, for the echoes of thunder. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the nations and our leaders, that led by your Spirit, they work towards a world where all of your children enjoy peace. We pray especially for nations currently experiencing war, violence, and turmoil. Hear us, O God. We pray for healing for all those who suffer, especially victims and survivors of trauma or violence. Give respite to those living with PTSD or any other mental health concerns. Give healing to those who are sick and comfort to those who mourn. We pray especially for Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, Sherry, and Jimmy, as well as the friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name either on our lips or in our hearts. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We pray for this worshiping community, that the splendor of your majesty and the holiness of your mystery may be glorified through our worship and our relationships with one another. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give you thanks, O God, for those who have died in the faith. We remember also those whose lives have been lost due to the horrors of war. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And also. At this time, I invite you to share a greeting of peace with those around you.
Jesus, you have fed yourself and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so love the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Jesus Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond to loving action in a needy world. Go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.